Welcome to The Sojo Show with Jen and AJ, where you'll dig deep into God's Word alongside two imperfect, frequently ineloquent women as we discover fresh ways to walk out God's truth together. Welcome back to The Sojo Show. Hi, AJ. How are you today?
Hello, Jen. I am great.
Awesome. Well, we're going to start today with, actually, normally we ask each other a question, but we're going to both answer this question together. So recently, not too long ago, we were together, like in real life person, right?
Yes.
It was fun. It was good. Well, it was okay. It was okay.
Okay. We're going to go there. I feel a fight being picked right here and now.
No, it was good. It was good. We're going to look past some parts of it.
In which Jen is dying to let you guys know I was not very kind, but whatever. She's a forgiving friend. So we are gooch. I'm
very forgiving. But here is my question to you. What did you love about that trip as far as what, like, guilty pleasure? What guilty pleasure was your favorite in that? Because when we get together, we have multiple guilty pleasures. Yes,
we do.
We're just like girls gone wild when we get together.
Well, maybe not quite to that
degree. We stay up till midnight and everything.
We do stay up till midnight. And Jen did come with a stash of groceries.
Yeah. When I got them, when I was there at the one grocery store in that town, it was awesome.
And she like bought the store out. So she comes home. Well, I get there and like all of these things are on the countertop.
Like all junk.
It is all junk. So that's a pretty easy answer for me. Definitely the Pringles, because I don't normally buy Pringles. Because if I buy stuff like that, like my kids, within a matter of minutes, they're like gone. Right. So I can't, I can't buy that kind of thing. But I will also say the Twizzlers were pretty good, although I did ruin it for Jen.
You did? Oh, I forgot about that.
I ruined the Twizzlers, guys. I was like a three-year-old.
Let me just share this for a second. So I went to the store, right? Because I got there before AJ. And I said, do you want me to just go and get supplies? Important supplies. And she said, yes. So I went down all the junk food aisles that were possible. And I'm a sweet. She's a savory. She's a, like a salty. We had a little everything. And so I got this big old bag of Twizzlers because I knew we were going to be actually working. I was totally teasing about the Girls Gone Wild because we totally worked the whole time. But when I'm working, I like to like nibble on things. So the Twizzlers is one of my guilty pleasures anyway. So I bought this, you know, have you ever seen the family size bag? Well, let me just preface it by saying.
Evidently, I had not.
The family size bag has this, like, you rip it at the top and it has like a Ziploc thing. So it keeps it fresh, right? Well, I walk in and I'm like, AJ, what in the world? She had ripped off in the Twizzler bag from the end that you cannot
see.
She's just gnawing on the Twizzlers. They're getting stale as we speak.
Hey, I found a Ziploc. You know, Ziploc fixes everything. It's like Ziploc and duct tape are your staples.
But it had a Ziploc on it. You had to add
I
a
didn't
Ziploc.
Know that.
You were impatient. I can see you. You're like, I want a Twizzler.
Yeah, because we never have those in my house either.
Yeah, that's obviously her guilty pleasure. So we don't have those really in my house either.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so the Pringles and the Twizzlers. So what about you, Jen? I mean, what out of all of that stash?
We had so much.
And don't tell me the yogurt because, you know, that's not a guilty pleasure.
I don't even remember the yogurt. I have no memory of the yogurt.
So that was definitely not your guilty pleasure then.
No memory of the yogurt. We did have, I like the Twizzlers. I like this, just having junk in that available. Honestly, the guilty pleasure is just having junk food that we could just eat a couple at a time. I mean, we didn't like go crazy. We just ate a couple of chips. And then we could put it on the counter and we could know that the
nobody else was going to eat it.
Right. Yes. The next day, it would still be there. And so, and so we could eat another few chips and then wait another 10, 12 hours and eat a few more. And they would still be there. As opposed to in our respective homes, when if you want it, you got to eat it all at once.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. I mean, you better snatch it up while you get it while the getting's good, girl, right? Because it won't be there long. But seriously, everybody, the reason why we are talking about this is because
I can't wait to hear your connection here.
Yes, I got the connection. I got it down.
Let's go. Let's see it.
Totally down.
Let's hear it.
So the reason why we are talking about this is because while we were together, our main project was to write this month's Bible study. Now, I nailed that, didn't I?
You did.
I did good.
I can tell how you're going to connect it.
So while we're eating our Twizzlers and, I don't know, pistachios Pringles. And Pringles and whatever else we had going on, we were writing this Bible study on the fruits of the Spirit. So today we're going to talk about the first fruit, which is love. And Jen, you actually are the one that tackled this one. This is a huge topic in scripture. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of going to hand it over to you to let you talk about it. And basically we want to know what you learned. Like as you were sitting there munching, what did you learn about the fruit of love? And yeah, what stood out to you?
Yeah. So this is the first fruit, obviously, that is listed and among the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. And it's really a good one. It's a good one. So if you go back and you do like a word study on this, there is it's the Greek word agape, which most of us have heard of this, but there are actually four different words in the Greek that describe love, right? And most of us know this as well. So that was the first thing I wanted to look at, kind of what was the difference between them. So that was something that, although we know it's good to be reminded of, but philia or philos is more like kind of like a brotherly love, like a friendship love, right? We hear that's Philadelphia. It's a city of brotherly love. It comes from that root. So philos is brotherly love. And then there's storge, which is like a familial love. That's like the love that comes between a parent and their child, for example. Then there's eros, which is a romantic or a sexual love. And then there is agape. And agape is actually the love that is referred to in the fruit of the Spirit. So that's why I wanted to do a deep dive into agape love. So the deal with agape love is it is a love that is difficult to even wrap my personal little brain around because it's an unconditional love. This is a love that God displayed for us when he sent his son to die on the cross. And because of that, it's hard for me to, you know, to get a good grasp on because it's hard to think about loving something unconditionally and sacrificial. Now, let me go ahead and say this. I can understand that almost more with the familial type love. I mean, like my love for that can be a little bit mixed, right? My love for my children is sacrificial and unconditional. I understand that, right? I understand it in the eros component to some extent. I understand unconditional sacrificial love for your husband, for example. I can even to some extent understand it for friendship, philos love, sacrificial love. Like AJ, I have a sacrificial love for AJ, even though it's a friendship type love. But this love goes beyond that. It even goes beyond that. And I think the interesting part about this particular love is it always gives. And that's what struck me about agape love. It always gives. It doesn't ever take. That's this whole unselfish. It is completely sacrificial. It doesn't take. It's given whether it's returned or not. Right. And so agape love is love that is a fruit that only comes from the Spirit. I don't think it's a love that we can really figure out and express on our own necessarily to everyone. And that's what agape love is. It is self-sacrifice. It allows for the good of the object of its love instead of your your own good. And again, that's why it's kind of hard to wrap our brains around. It goes against what society tells us. It goes against what our natural instincts are, but it is totally from God. And it's more than from God. Here's an interesting thing. It is not just from God. We know that it's from God. We know that, you know, all good gifts come from God. It's more than from God. It actually is God. So this is something that's kind of interesting to wrap your brain around, that God is love, and it's that agape love. So if God is that love, it has to be him in us. So if God is in us, then that love is in us, that agape love is in us. And the more we get to know God and the more we abide in Christ, as we talked about the last episode, the more that love flourishes and the more that unselfish, that sacrificial love that is God is displayed to an onlooking world. And in doing that, we are able to be a light on a hill. We've talked about that last week as well. But we're also able to shine that light and show the glory of God and show the nature of God just a little bit. And that was a huge, big ramble because there's a lot here for me to unpack. So let's kind of dive in a little bit more and tell me what your thoughts are.
Yeah, well, I think that's really interesting because I think first off, not all of us realize that there are numerous words for love in the New Testament. You know, in English, in our language, we just have one word for love, and that's love. So we do have a lust, you know, we have like and friendship, you know, we have some similar terms that we might could use to describe certain types of love, but we only have one term for love. So the fact that the scripture gets so specific is really helpful for our understanding of what love is. But the other thing, as you were talking, I was thinking of John 3:16, you know, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Mm-hmm. So you see that right off the bat, that God's love, which is his very nature and character, is generous. You know, it's a giving kind of love. It's like he can't help but pour out. And it isn't pouring out for his own good. It's pouring out for the good of others. And it's just part of the inherency of who he is. And that makes such a difference when we understand that for us as human beings, you know, we make a choice to love, but for God, it is who he is. Mm-hmm. Like he can't not be that way. So it is inherently different. God is inherently different than we are. There's nobody here on this earth that we can compare him to. And so when we look at what this love looks like or what it entails, we have to understand that it is completely divine and we can't find it anywhere apart from him. So yeah, you brought up some really good points.
Yeah. And you know, the thing with knowing that, if you know that God is love and you know that who you are in Christ, I think that can help you in this developing this fruit of the Spirit. And knowing that it's, again, not something you have to do in and of yourself. I don't have to muster love for someone who is, it's easy to love people who are lovable.
Right.
Let's just put it that way. It's very easy. Even people that you don't know that you meet and they're for whatever reason, you are attracted to them. Not, I'm not talking about in a romantic way, but like it's they're
attracted. Right. There's something likable about them.
Yes. They're likable. Yeah. They're charismatic, whatever it might be. It's easy to kind of have this kind of love for them, but it's a little more difficult to have love for those who are against you, who are unlovable, who are right. challenging, really. Yeah. And yet that is what agape love is, to love them as well. And for me, it was so encouraging to recognize that I cannot, the fact that I can't do that in myself is kind of universal. But I have Christ in me. And so I already have that love. I have the ability to trust in Christ to manifest that love for his people. That helps me when I'm thinking about preferring others over myself, because naturally I want to prefer myself. And so when I think about what you just mentioned, the ultimate sacrifice of God sending his son, I'm more able to do that. It comes back to knowing the gospel and understanding the gospel, understanding what was done for us, and then in turn, being able to do that for others. So I do have a quote here about agape love that is John MacArthur actually wrote. He said this quote, and in a commentary on Ephesians, and he said, the absence of agape love is the presence of sin. The absence of love has nothing at all to do with what is happening to us, but everything to do with what is happening in us. Sin and love are enemies because sin and God are enemies. And remember, we've already said God is love. They cannot coexist. Where one is, the other is not. The loveless life is the ungodly life, and the godly life is caring, serving, tenderhearted, affectionate, self-giving, self-sacrificing life of Christ's love working through the believer. So, you know, what he's saying here kind of puts it in black and white, and if God is love, and then the opposite of love is against God, it's rebellion against God, which is sin, and they cannot coexist. Mm-hmm. So it bearing that fruit is part of knowing that we are believers and that we have Christ. Well,
and to me, I think in a large way that takes the pressure off, and I'm kind of going to go at this little argument through the back door, I think, because because maybe initially it doesn't look to be good news, but it is good news for us, because in 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, beloved, let us love one another. So there we have the command to love each other. But then it goes on to say, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so it's kind of like the pressure is off of us to come up with this kind of love, and the pressure is on for us to know God. And as we know him, and I think you stated this earlier, as we get to know him more and more and more, this fruit becomes more evident in our life simply because he is in us and we are allowing him to express that through us. And if you haven't listened to last week's podcast, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that, because it places the context of all of our fruitfulness in the Christian life within that context of abiding in Christ. Mm-hmm. And Jen made a really good point that, you know, these are the fruits of the Spirit. They're not fruits of Jen or not fruits of AJ or not fruits of you. You know, they are fruits of the Spirit within us. And that is, it is a relief because we don't have to create these on our own. And this is something that as we know God, as we abide in him, we will love. That's a promise that his word gives us.
Right. And then to take it one step further, which I always like to take it one step beyond us, in John 13:35, he says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. You will have love for one another. So again, the point of this is not just so we can practice loving others for the good of our own souls, which obviously is a good thing because we're growing in Christ's likeness, but it's so that an onlooking world will know that we are disciples, that we are following Christ. And in doing so, it's that sweet aroma. It's that salt on of the earth. It's that light on the hill. It's all those analogies. It is the fact that we can then be used by God. We can be hands and feet for God because a dying world will see who we are and want that. And it will reflect the glory of God.
Yeah, because nobody else can do that. Nobody else can love with agape love except the believers of who are in Christ Jesus. Like we are the only ones who have that capacity.
Right. And it is not something that's going to come naturally to you. Spoiler alert. It's not. So as a challenge, as a practical application and a challenge, recognizing that this is something that we want to see manifest in our lives. This is a fruit we will obviously want to see develop. The only way to do that is, we've talked about this over and over and over again on this podcast, is to know God more, to be in the word, to be praying, to be practicing the spiritual disciplines. And so my challenge will be to focus on that this week and maybe do a word study on love. If you're in Sojo Academy, you're going to have the opportunity to do that because it's part of our study this, you know, this month.
Yay. And I love word studies. They are so good.
There's a lot of word studies this month. But then there's also some applications that you're going to have in that study if you're in Sojo. But even if you're not, if you're listening to us and you're not in Sojo Academy, for one thing, come join us because we're awesome.
Jen's speaking for herself.
No, we're not. The group is awesome. The women who are in
the group definitely
not
is.
Us, no. Not us. but for even if you're not in there, then find a way to practice this love, but do it in a knowing that it's not in your own. In your own fortitude, but it's Christ in you. And just yes. Recognize where this gift comes from.
Absolutely. And walk in the joy of that, which by the way, joy is going to be our topic for next week. So yay. Little sneak peek there.
Absolutely. Okay. So that's love. What's love got to do?
Apparently it's got to do a lot with it, Jen. As we have discovered today, is super important.
It does. So these podcasts are a little bit shorter. And so we will see you next week when we're going to talk about joy. In the meantime, let us know if you loved this episode.
Yes.
Hey, and leave us a comment and a review.
I love it. Yeah. Show the love. How about that? Show the love and leave us a comment.
Love.
And we'll talk to you next time.
See you soon.
I think we'd all love to have a godly woman sit down and show us how they study a passage of scripture.
Now imagine sitting down with not one, but over a dozen godly women with years of ministry experience between them who are all excited to share exactly how they study the Bible.
Well, grab your coffee mug and notebook, friend, because that's exactly what you are invited to experience.
The Explore God's Word collection is a bundle of video workshops, tutorials, printables to show you exactly how others study scripture.
We all know there are so many different ways to dig into scripture. So why not let these women show you how they do it?
Grab your own copy of Explore God's Word Collection at sojohub.com/explore.
That's sojohub.com/explore.
Are there areas in your life where you feel like you need to simplify a bit? My guess is yes. Several years ago, AJ and I identified 7 areas that we felt like were important to simplify in order to focus on most important things in life and primarily our relationship with God. What we are doing is pulling that out of the vault, and we are doing Simplify Your Life Summer 2024 edition. We invite you to join us. We are excited about it and look forward to seeing you there. Go check out sojohub.com/simplify for more information.